You are listening to Do You Believe in Magic on OTG and Nothing But Net Network here on Dash Radio. Be sure to follow us on iTunes by searching Do You Believe in Magic and subscribe today. All right, what's up, Magic fans? Welcome to Do You Believe in Magic? I'm your host, credentialed member of the media, and contributor to OrlandoPinstripePost.com, Preston Ellis. And today I have the whole squad, unfortunately, getting you ready for Thursday night's event. And then at the end, I'm going to tell you why there is at least a 25% chance that the Magic will select, and I can't say his name for the life of me, so I hope they actually don't, but Luka Doncic.
God, Doncic.
I'm not going to try. Doncic. On Thursday night. First up, we have Mr. Aaron Goldstone. How are you doing, sir?
Good, Preston. What's up? I've been inside of Jacksonville, Florida for the last couple days. I've been here for 4 days for work, and it is something.
It's something. All right. Thank you so much for that vote of approval for the city of Jacksonville. And then we have Mr. William Ogburn in Atlanta. How are you doing, sir?
Dude, great. That's a great representation of Jacksonville. And how about those acting chops that Preston? I'm out here cracking up, and he's just like, he's back on Law and Order, man, just delivering the lines. Unfazed.
You have to hide the hurt deep inside. And then finally, my thwart, my arch nemesis, Mr. Zach Oliver. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I had a nice radio spot. I stole Aaron's fame on 96.9 The Game earlier, and
How did it go?
Had some fun talking with Jerry and the Shot Doctor, and felt good. Talked a lot of draft stuff and a little bit about trades and roster construction. So it was a solid little session.
The best we can ever hope for is just to pick up after Aaron Goldstone's scraps. Excuse me. It's going well. Let's follow these guys at Aaron Goldstone, at Go So Hard, and at Zach Oliver NBA if you want to support the podcast, at DYB and Magic, and of course, our website at OPP Magic Blog. The hour is late, my friends, so let's start with your top 10 mock draft, or at least leading up to where the Magic select, your best case scenario for the Magic, followed by your worst case scenario, and we're starting with Mr. Aaron Goldstone.
So you want what I think each pick is going to be?
Yeah, your projections for leading up to the Magic, and then you can go a couple of picks after, just leading up to the decision-making process that Weltman will have to face once we get to six.
Sure. So DeAndre Ayton, number one. That's not who I would pick if I was Phoenix, but that's who they're going to pick. And at number two, Sacramento, we were all talking a little bit about this last night. Luka Doncic has not obviously worked out for any teams because he's had a little bit more important stuff going on in the ACB finals. But, you know, there really hasn't been that many links Sacramento to Luka, and I can't envision or imagine them passing on him. Maybe they will, you know, Marvin Bagley III, but I just kind of think they're keeping it radio silent and hoping that if they don't put up on a billboard, welcome to Sacramento Luka, that Phoenix maybe changes their mind at one. So I'm still going to have Luka Doncic penciled in at number two to Sacramento. I know some people might disagree with me, but I think he's the best player in the draft. I certainly can't imagine him sliding that much further. Three, Atlanta. Here is where I'm going to go a little bit out on a limb. I don't think there are, what's the phrase these days, smoke screens coming out of Atlanta. I think their interest in Trae Young is very real. I think Atlanta will take Trae Young at three. I think that brings us to four, Memphis. I think Memphis is going to take Marvin Bagley III. I'm not a huge fan of, but at four, I think that's pretty decent value there. And Bagley III, you know, is a weird fit in the NBA right now, but next to Marc Gasol, I can kind of see that working. I know Gasol is getting up there in age, but he's sort of a spread five at this point, and Bagley's more of a inside the paint four, so that odd relationship could kind of work. So that would bring us to number five. And at number five, I think Dallas is going to go with Mohamed Bamba. That's kind of always who I've linked Dallas and Bamba together. I think that's a great situation for him. Have I forgotten somebody? I feel like I went through. That's 1, Ayton, 2, Doncic, 3,
Trey Young.
4, Bagley, 5, Bamba. So that would bring us to number 6. And this would be honestly just an ideal situation. One of these deals where in fantasy football, you just put the guy in the queue, and if he's there, you don't overthink it. I'm not crazy about the Magic passing on Trae Young, but if Jaren Jackson Jr. were to slide to them, you know, you probably pull that trigger because you can make an argument he's one of the best 2 or 3 players in this draft. So in that situation, I think they would take Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm only saying that because for whatever reason, I think they have soured Weltman and Hammond on Young, or maybe they never really had him very high at all. Who knows? But in that case, I think it would be Jaren Jackson Jr. After that, oh well, who cares?
Right.
Fair enough. Now, what is your best case scenario? Is this how you want things to unfold? What would your best case scenario for the way the draft unfolds up until 6 be or go?
I don't really have a best case scenario in mind. You know, I certainly have a worst case scenario being a lifelong Magic fan. You know, every draft seems like it's the worst case scenario other than a few, but, you know, I just don't want them to reach. You know, even some guys that I'm just medium or vanilla or lukewarm on, like, I'm not crazy about Kevin Knox or Colin Sexton, but if they were to pick guys like that by trading down and picking up another asset, then fine. Worst case scenario for me would be the Magic reaching way down, I guess, to grab someone at 6, like a Sexton or Knox, when they probably, that's just too high for them when there's better players on the board. So, I mean, honestly, Bamba, Jackson, Young, take somebody in the range of where they're supposed to, regardless of position, and I think that would be best case scenario. Young would probably be best case scenario for Jonathan Isaac and Aaron Gordon and everybody else on the roster. I think you would bring out everybody else best, but just no reaches, I guess.
All right, Mr. Ogburn.
Actually, I have a question for Aaron.
Yeah.
There we go.
What do you want, Zach?
What, God, we need to get a, you know, I can exercise the mute button. If you guys give me permission on Zach Oliver, just let me know. Give me the go ahead.
Go ahead, Zach.
Well, I think Aaron kind of touched on it, you know, with taking somebody like a Colin Sexton or a Kevin Knox there. And in a hypothetical, would you trade 6 for 12 and 13 if you have the potential to take both of those guys there?
If you would have asked me this, and I think like we've talked about this a few weeks ago, so now I'm just going to be a flip-flopper. If you would have asked me this a few weeks ago, I would have said no. But look, if they're married to somebody that's going to be a reach, then yeah, absolutely, I'd take 12 and 13. I think at this point, 2 days before the draft, you would probably have to convince the Clippers to take 6 to give up 12 and 13 because they may actually feel like their 2 picks are maybe more valuable at 6 the way some guys are rising, others are falling. So you would just kind of have to feel that out Thursday night, I guess.
Sorry, Master Ellis, you may take it over now.
All right, back to William. I like that. Can we stick to that? Mr. Ogburn, let's talk about your mock draft leading up to pick 6.
Man, and my favorite meme of this show so far, you've just hit Aaron with a hard question while I've like feverishly typed away on how I can answer it. So I'm ready to go. Like, I'm good to go. So I've been like really cynical all day. I feel bad about it, but as time has gone on, you guys heard me like whenever this pod started, like I was so happy about this draft. And as time has kind of gone on, I think our front office is gonna kind of drop the ball on this one. Just my opinion, but I'm starting to get a little bit nervous. I'd say number 1 is gonna be Ayton. I think number 2 is gonna be Bagley because the Kings are not smart. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I just have no reason to. Then the Hawks, the reverse of that for me. I think that they're smart and they're gonna take Jaren Jackson and just be done with what they're going through right now. They have a history of winning. I think they're going to take a low-risk guy. 4, I think Doncic goes to Memphis, eats a bunch of barbecue, and is looking like Hedo Turkoglu. Excited about that. 5, Mo Bamba in Dallas seems like a perfect fit. I think that he's trying his damnedest to drop and get down there. So that I think works out for everyone. Six, man, after seeing that thing last night with Woj, or at least hearing about it, I'm a little bit scared, because in Aaron's universe, Triple J is still there. That's my dream world, man. If that happens, I am going to be celebrating. I truly think, like he said, it makes too much sense to take Trae Young. I just feel like they're not going to. I think if those exact guys come off the board, the most talented player on the board for the Orlando Magic is Trae Young, and to me, it's not really that close. I mean, because, like, say what you want about Wendell Carter, and he's good and everything, but just for what we need, I think that Trae, if all those other guys are gone, is perfect, and it seems like he's not the kind of guy this organization wants, and like I've said on here a couple times, I think that they kind of have their way of doing things that they don't really stray from, so maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I think that they're going to go with, like, a Sexton or a Wendell Carter there, and that would be a bummer. And then I guess at seven, whichever of those guys is left. But yeah, I think best case scenario, like I said, I mean, for me, best case scenario is they catch Doncic with some strange, like, Serbian brand of weed or something, and he just free falls to us. I don't think that's gonna happen. But I think, like, Triple J would be awesome.
I know a guy.
You gotta get the plant going, the Dave Chappelle plant. But anyway, So, number one on my board for us is Doncic. Number two is Triple J. If we wind up with Triple J, I'll be ecstatic. If we exactly what Aaron said, if we reach on somebody like Sexton or Knox, I'm going to be bummed, because we need a good player. It would be one thing if we were, you know, the Cavaliers or the Hawks or, like, one of these teams that's just kind of down here randomly. Like, Boston's been down here randomly, and they're like, oh, let's take a flyer on this guy we really like, and, like, everyone's going to make fun of us, but it doesn't honestly really matter because we have all this stuff going on. With us, it's like, no, we really need this guy to be good, because if we have another guy that we're not sure if he's good, it's going to be really awkward because we're not going to be sure who to play. So we need to play this guy for him to be good. So,
all right, Zach, I think the floor is yours. Why don't you start off telling us, you represented the Magic with the SB Nation mock draft. Tell us how that went.
Yeah, so I swung for the fences. I tried to trade up to one and get Luka Doncic. I offered Dave King of Bright Side of the Sun the 6th pick Jonathan Isaac, a 2019 first, and Oklahoma City's 2020 first, and didn't get the deal done. So I don't know what in the bloody hell anybody would have to offer the Suns in real life to get that pick, but I tried. But, you know, I think it was very chalky. Once we got down to five, I had the opportunity to take anybody. I had Mo Bamba, Trae Young, Colin Sexton, Michael Porter were all on the board still. I ended up taking Mo Bamba. I thought he was best player available there, and I think that his defensive potential, plus what he can do in the pick and roll, and I think as a pop man even some, was too hard to pass up there. And I think a defensive trio of Bamba, Isaac, and Aaron Gordon would just terrorize the league. After that, I made a small trade with the Clippers for the 13th pick. I sent them Evan Fournier and took back Danilo Gallinari's contract for the 13th pick. You know, added a little bit of salary in the short term, but likely got out of the last year of Evan Fournier's contract, which is a player option. So that saves $17 million in a couple of summers when I think the Magic will really be looking to make some moves then. And, you know, I consulted Aaron here. I had the chance to take Colin Sexton at 13, but I ended up taking Elliot Kobo, the French point guard. You can never have enough crafty lefties, as Jeff Turner would say. And I think that he would be a nice addition at the point guard spot. Moving forward for the Magic, I felt pretty good. I like the wing depth, especially later into the first round, early second. I think that the Magic could get somebody who could slide in and fill a little bit of a gap that Fournier leaves. And obviously, Danilo Gallinari would help also. So I felt really good about how the draft turned out for me.
Yeah, I like it. Now, why don't you tell us what realistically, because according to all reports, DeAndre Ayton is going number one overall to the Suns. So however that draft unfolded probably isn't as close to reality as we might think. Why don't you tell us what you actually think will happen and what will be available to the Magic at the 6th selection?
So Aaron, myself, and Mike Gavin, our managing editor, got together for a little roundtable type discussion that's going to be dropping tomorrow, sometime tomorrow morning. And we did a mock draft for the first six picks. There, I said DeAndre Ayton, and I think he's a lock at number one. Here, I kind of went more so with what I think is actually going to happen, you know, based off of what should happen, you know, with the players that are there. I had Luka Doncic 2, Trae Young 3, Marvin Bagley Jr., or Marvin Bagley the 3rd at 4, Jaren Jackson Jr. at 5, and then Mo Bamba at 6. Now, if you ask me, with everything that we've heard smokescreen-wise or not smokescreen-wise, we don't know what the Kings are going to do. Right now, I would say it's Ayton. I think Marvin Bagley goes 2nd. Trae Young goes 3rd. I think somebody trades up to 4 to take Luka Doncic. The team that does that, don't ask me, but somebody will be willing to take on that Chandler Parsons contract to get Doncic. So I think Doncic will go 4. And then 5 is a really interesting spot with Dallas. I think that obviously they've wanted a big man forever. You know, so Mo Bamba is probably a very real option there. So I'd probably put him there, which would then leave Jaren Jackson Jr. at 6 for the Magic. And I think that would be a steal. I think that avoiding Colin Sexton at that point is good. If you trade back, you know, it might be a different story. I don't touch Michael Porter Jr. I even saw something come across my timeline earlier that it looks like he might sit out his first year.
No way.
Jonathan Gabani of Draft Express, I said his name wrong, but he just reported that a few hours ago.
Yep.
He just sat out his last year. You can't get 2 redshirt years.
I just work here.
If you want to tank, that's the exact thing you do. The 76ers have made classic use of that tactic.
And if your back isn't healthy.
Yeah, and that was hip. All right, your worst case is Michael Porter. Your best case is Jaren Jackson, and you think that the Magic will, in fact, get Jaren Jackson.
I don't know if Jaren Jackson's necessarily my best case. I think Mo Bamba's my best case scenario.
Okay.
And then my worst case would probably be Michael Porter Jr. I don't necessarily believe in him. And I think that the back hip, you know, that's a big deal, especially for somebody at that age. And I know we've talked about it before, but I think it's really hard to draft a player like him there when you already have Jonathan Isaac and Aaron Gordon on the roster, because one of them is going to have to come off the bench then.
You know what's crazy? I look at that and I agree with everything you just said. However, I would still rather have Michael Porter Jr. than Colin Sexton. As I've thought about it, it's like he's tiny and he can't shoot. And like everyone's comparing him to Westbrook, but Westbrook has like 3 inches on him. Everything that Westbrook does is dependent on his size. That's like, oh, I'm going to sell you a 6'4 LeBron James. It's like, well, that's not the same player. But I don't know.
Isn't the 6'4 LeBron James Russell Westbrook?
No, because LeBron is more selfless and can defend multiple positions, or used to be able to, and is a better shooter. There's a lot of difference there. I don't think, like, I don't know. I look at Colin Sexton, and we've already had to watch Elfrid Payton, and I'm not excited about another point guard that can't shoot. And I think, like, you know, his camp is like saying all the right things about how he's a dog and he's a bull or whatever, but it's like, I just be all the animals you want, dude, be a whole zoo, but it doesn't help us. Like, I think that we need, like I said, like, I'm not super duper crazy about Trae Young, but I think in the position that we're in is we need to run an offense. We need to be an NBA basketball team. And I think that having a guard like that, who has been suspect defensively, who doesn't have the size to guard some guys, and he depends on getting to the rim, and now the defenders are like a foot taller. Like, yeah, maybe that works against, you know, Missouri and LSU, but not against like the Cavaliers. I don't see it.
Right. And playing off that a little bit, I believe Aaron shared this, that last year, really, Colin Sexton wasn't any better defensively than Trae Young was.
Right.
Statistically, they were pretty even. I think that both are going to have some issues guarding at the NBA level. But like I said this today, on 96.9 The Game, you know, what Trae Young has that I don't think Colin Sexton has, he has a clear defined NBA skill. his scoring is an A-plus skill, and his passing is an A-plus skill. So I think that sets him apart from Sexton a little bit too. And like Aaron has said a few times, Sexton reminds me a bit of Elfrid Payton, and we saw how that turned out.
I think the potential of him to be a star isn't really there. I could be wrong. He could just totally prove me wrong. But it's like we're hoping that he is a taller guy who people are kind of not great. Like people don't love Russell Westbrook now based on the way the game's going because he can't shoot. So like maybe he'll grow, but like I don't see that. I don't know. I don't. Like I said, like because if you give me Colin Sexton or Michael Porter, there is a small like a 5-10% chance that Michael Porter will one day be healthy. Maybe he'll be Grant Hill and he'll just be great for like 2 or 3 years. But there is no role player Michael Porter. I don't think there is a very easily role player Colin Sexton.
All right, I'll agree with that. Patrick Beverley, the comparisons I've been most often hearing by Kevin O'Connor and Jonathan Givony and Zach Lowe is more Patrick Beverley. He's more a safe pick, not necessarily a world beater, but they all seem confident that he can start and be a serviceable, you know, maybe third or fourth guy on a contending playoff team. But we're going to transition now. I want to do something kind of fun. We know who the Phoenix Suns' number one prospect is, and right now it's DeAndre Ayton. It's not Luka Doncic, but we do know who Luka Doncic is.
Hey, you got it right.
I got it right. I had to write it out for myself with the CH in it. But his number one prospect, fresh off his Real Madrid championship tonight with a fadeaway floater three-point shot that won the game, his number one prospect, he says, is Jennifer Aniston and a tiger. So that's how big his swag game is. And I'm going to lay out really quickly why the Magic should get Luka Doncic on Thursday night in the draft. Right now, DeAndre Ayton is slated to go first. Sporting News says Marvin Bagley is a near lock, and that's a quote to the Sacramento Kings. The Atlanta Hawks are reportedly, also by the Sporting News, souring on Jaren Jackson. But like you heard Zach Oliver and Aaron Goldstone say, they might reportedly take a chance on Trae Young. So like these guys just said, Zach Oliver said, that now brings Doncic to four. And at four, someone is going to take that Parsons pill to get Luka Doncic. And if they want to, this is an excellent opportunity for the Orlando Magic. And the first thing everybody's going to say is that the Magic don't have the space. They're not going to pay the tax. That's not true. Chandler Parsons brings in $25 million. So you only need to clear $16 million in space in order to avoid the tax. That's simple. Shelvin Mack, Terrence Ross. Of course, I would push for Evan Fournier and Mack. That's going to buy you a bit of breathing room with 23 going out, meaning you still have $7 million in space under the tax to sign your second round picks and whatever else. And I know you're all screaming, Bismack Biyombo, Bismack Biyombo. They're not going to take Bismack Biyombo. Why are they going to save themselves $8 million in two seasons to give away possibly the draft's best player? And that's why this is happening. That's why you're not sending out Biyombo. You're sending out Terrence Ross or Evan Fournier, and you're doing it because you have to believe, Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, that Luka Doncic is the draft's best player. He's a franchise cornerstone type player. He's not going to be the third best guy on your team. He's not going to be the fourth best guy on a contending team like for the Warriors. He's not going to be Draymond Green. He is going to be your team's best player. And that's what we've been saying for the past year, is that Luka Doncic is that player. Now, why isn't he going first overall? Well, you can say it's his attitude. You can say it's the smokescreen that he's going to stay in Europe for whatever reason. DeAndre Ayton went and worked out in Phoenix, and Marvin Bagley went and worked out in Sacramento, and maybe that's why this is happening. But if you do believe that he is the best player, then you have to go out and get him. Superstars in the NBA are kind of like quarterbacks in the NFL. You see teams spend up to 3 first round picks to secure them, and the Magic aren't doing that. They're moving up 2 slots. They're not surrendering any picks. They're just taking back one bad contract. And who cares about cap space? Is anyone really going to tell me you expect the Magic to compete this season? No, they're not going to compete this season. The best the Orlando Magic can hope for this season is that Aaron Gordon improves upon his 18-8, you know, maybe gets up to 20-10, maybe makes a late surge for the All-Star game if Gordon Hayward struggles to get back from his injury and Kevin Love suffers a setback, or maybe, you know, pilots Cleveland by himself. So all you want is improvement for Aaron Gordon and some progress from Jonathan Isaac and whoever your 6th overall pick is. So let's get that out of the way. Money is not an issue for the Orlando Magic. They don't need to bring in players. They need to stay where they are and to grow and develop young talent. Now, if you do this, you are loaded with expiring contracts. And expiring contracts are important for this reason. You have three major pieces to acquire talent with: $12.5 million from Nikola, $25 million from Parsons, $17 million from Biombo. It doesn't need to match perfectly. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, it has to be within somewhere around $5 million. Let me tell you which teams need to dump salary this season to avoid the tax. First, you have Washington. You have Toronto, you have Portland, you have Cleveland, you have Detroit, you have Milwaukee, you have Oklahoma City, potentially Utah, then you have the Pelicans if they bring back Boogie, and of course you have the Houston Rockets. All of these teams are going to be willing at some point or another, specifically if they're not contending for a title, to offload a positive asset and take back an expiring just to avoid the tax. Now, we've seen what happens when superstars want to leave and when high-profile players tell teams they're not going to re-sign and the Magic are going to be in a perfect position to swoop in. So now they've got potentially the draft's best player, Luka Doncic. They've got Aaron Gordon potentially. In this scenario, he's on a four-year, $100 million contract. You've got him in a position where he might be a future all-star. You've got Jonathan Isaac hopefully playing up to his sixth overall selection, and hopefully that ankle injury is in the past. We know that the Orlando Magic cannot lure these players via free agency, at least not yet. So let's take a look at what is going to be available on the market for an expiring in 2019. In 2019, you've got Karl-Anthony Towns, who you think is going to come back on the max, Pat Beverley, Kristaps Porzingis, Klay Thompson, Paul George, Tobias Harris, Ricky Rubio, DeAndre Jordan, Dwight Howard, the Morris Twins, Alec Burks, Wilson Chandler. Not great. Now let's look at what will be available in the summer of 2020 when $42 million comes off the books for the Orlando Magic. You've got Anthony Davis, Gordon Hayward, Mike Conley, Damian Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, CJ McCollum, Otto Porter, Rudy Gobert, Bradley Beal, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Victor Oladipo, Kyle Lowry, Al Horford, Paul Millsap, Harrison Barnes, Kevin Love, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic. The names just keep on coming. So this is a great position for the Orlando Magic, and I hope that they jump on it. I know that they probably won't because it's a risk. It's a risk to take back that contract. It limits what you can do. And also, like, who's to say what the Magic actually think of Luka Doncic? Have they even met him? He's been in the middle of this championship run throughout this entire process. So while you might hear, anyway, to wrap all this up, while you may hear Magic fans say, no more salary. We have to offload Bismack Biyombo. Yes, we can, and yes, we damn well should. If you believe that Luka is that player, then what are the Magic waiting for? Take back all the bad salary you need to and get a franchise cornerstone player. Now, he just completed his dream season. I'm reading this directly off Twitter with an ACB championship as Real Madrid wins game four. He didn't have his best game, but he was money down the stretch, including making a ridiculous one-legged three-point shot with a shot clock running down. He'll be in the green room at the NBA draft Thursday. And for anybody who wants to compare him to Mario Hezonja, forgive me for not remembering who wrote this on Twitter, but he basically said that Mario Hezonja got the ninth most minutes for his team, and Luka Doncic at 19 years old is already Real Madrid's best player on a championship team. So there is no comparison. Anyway, I'm going to open up the floor to you guys. If you want to shut me down, feel free. Let's try to keep close on time, but the floor is now yours.
My head hurts.
I feel inspired. I want to go through a wall.
Okay, so I want to point out one thing. You preaching to accept that Parsons deal is like basically what I said was okay for the Magic to do when in the deal that I did, taking back Danilo Gallinari. Obviously, the money is a little bit less with Gallinari. And I got off of longer term money with Fournier. Now, I do, in some ways, I do agree that it's okay to keep Bismack Biyombo. Obviously, you want to try to get off that contract. But to get, realistically, to get the fourth pick and to take Luka Doncic, you would have to give up Evan Fournier because Memphis would want somebody who could come in and, you know, contribute right away. And I think that Fournier would actually fit really well next to Mike Conley and Marc Gasol.
People forget, man, that team, like, they had, like, what? They set, like, an NBA record for the most players played, and they barely missed the playoffs. So I think that was the year that they barely made the playoffs. Like, the fact that no one was healthy was the only reason why they're bad. Like, if they had a couple guys healthy, they're not, like, a contender by any means. But, like, I don't know if they're trying to blow it up. I feel like they should have made other moves if that was their plan. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, with Marc Gasol and Mike Conley there, It makes sense for them to, you know, maybe try and not necessarily go full rebuild. You know, maybe you make one more run. You make a trade. You get a guy like a number 48, see if you can reload and then go and make a run, because you don't know what's going to happen with San Antonio. And yeah, you don't know what's going to happen with Minnesota, because Minnesota's cap space is gone. I mean, they're going to lose Jamal Crawford this summer, and they're just not going to have much depth. You know, they're married to that roster right now, and it barely made the playoffs last year. I think there's going to be some spots opening up in the West, so, you know, a team like Memphis could slide back in there.
All right, I'll take this opportunity to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, follow our guys at Aaron Goldstone, at Go So Hard, and at Zach Oliver NBA. And we just want to take a moment to tell you guys how much we appreciate your support. Each week, we've gotten more and more downloads. So thank you to you guys so much for continuing to listen, continuing to retweet, continuing to get involved. And we want to ask you to keep listening. If you have any questions, send them to DYB in Magic. And please subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcast from. Just really quickly, we have two questions from our readers. And I know that one of them, hold on, here we go. All right, Stephen Cameron, of course, if that filler is Biz, we talked about that. Keith, all right, he says, if it's Doncic, of course. And AD for MVP says, if Mo Bamba or JJJ are on the board at 6, do they choose one of the two, or do they try to trade up for someone else, or if they get offered the right deal, should they trade down with one of the two still on the board? And I think you guys were comfortable with both Mo Bamba or JJJ coming to the Magic. So if those two guys are falling to the Magic, are you happy? Do you try to trade up to get somebody else, or are you comfortable trading back and hoping that one of them is available at 7 or 8?
Well, if they're both there, then they're not going to be trading up to take somebody, because all the teams ahead of them already picked.
I don't trade back.
I take Jaren Jackson, I run.
Yeah, you make your big board and you just stay consistent with it. I mean, if Jackson is there, it's because somebody like Trae Young was picked in front of him, or Michael Porter Jr. So then it even makes your decision easier. And it's just, you just go with who falls to you. You know, that's what happened to the Magic last year. You know, there was virtually no connection from the Magic and Jonathan Isaac until draft night, and he was just a guy that they had kind of had high on their board, and they had been connected to Dennis Smith Jr. and whether you chose to believe that or not, but Isaac was there, and they reached for him and just took best player available. And it'd be a similar type of thing with Bamba or JJJ for sure.
All right. Thank you, guys. I'm Preston Ellis. This has been Do You Believe in Magic? And we hope you guys do. We'll be back on Thursday night recapping the draft with a quick little excerpt, just recapping the three picks the Magic hopefully have had at that point, or unveiling whatever else took place. And then we'll be back at some point on Friday or Saturday with all four of us again. And we'll do our typical hour-long show recapping all of the events and then throwing out our grades. Until then, thank you guys for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Do You Believe in Magic? If you like what you're hearing, take a moment to share with your friends, subscribe, and rate our podcast on iTunes today.